Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Narada, you were taught about the science of God and His transcendental loving service by the personality of Godhead in His incarnation of Hamsa Avatar. He was very much pleased with you due to your intense proportion of devotional service. He also explained unto you lucidly the full science of devotional service, which is especially understandable by persons who are souls surrendered unto Lord Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead. Okay, so purport by Srila Prabhupada. The devotee and devotional service are two correlative terms. Unless one is inclined to be a devotee of the Lord, he cannot enter into the intricacies of devotional service. Lord Sri Krishna wanted to explain the Bhagavad Gita, which is the science of devotional service, unto Sri Arjuna, because Arjuna was not only his friend, but a great devotee as well. The whole process is that all living entities, being constitutionally parts and parcels of the Supreme Living Being, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, have proportionately minute independence of action also. So, the preliminary qualification for entering into the devotional service of the Lord is that one become a willing cooperator. And as such, one should voluntarily cooperate with persons who are already engaged in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. By cooperating with such persons, the prospective candidate will gradually learn the techniques of devotional service, and with the progress of such learning, one becomes proportionately free from the contamination of material association. Such a purificatory process will establish the prospective candidate in firm faith and gradually elevate him to the stage of devotional, of transcendental taste for such devotional service. Thus he acquires a genuine attachment for the devotional service of the Lord, and his conviction carries him on to the point of ecstasy just prior to the stage of transcendental love. Such knowledge of devotional service may be divided into two sections, namely preliminary knowledge of the nature of devotional service and the secondary knowledge of the nature of devotional service, Such knowledge of devotional service may be divided into two sections, namely preliminary knowledge of the nature of devotional service and the secondary knowledge of its execution. Bhagavatam is in relation with the personality of Godhead, his beauty, fame, opulence, dignity, attraction and transcendental qualities which attract one towards him for exchanges of love and affection. There is a natural affinity of the living entity for the loving service of the Lord. This affinity becomes artificially covered by the influence of material association, and Srimad Bhagavatam helps one very genuinely remove that artificial covering. Therefore, it is particularly mentioned herein that Srimad Bhagavatam acts like the lamp of transcendental knowledge. These two sections of transcendental knowledge in devotional service become revealed to a person who is a soul surrendered unto Vasudeva, as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19, such a great soul, fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of Vasudev, is very, very rare. Omagyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Staptam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ragunat Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminite Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Adeshitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare I would like to ask all the Vaishnavas for their kind blessings that I may say something meaningful and pleasing both to your ears and also to the Lord. I feel totally unqualified and therefore please kindly forgive me if I'm not able to properly understand what is written here. With your help, maybe we can come to a good conclusions. Okay, so here we are hearing about another incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Actually, in fact, this verse speaks about two avatars. One of Hamsa avatar and the other one is Narada Muni. This is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary to this verse. So here, in this verse, who is Hamsa avatar, first of all? He is mentioned in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the section of Uddhava Gita. During the conversation between Krishna and Uddhava, Krishna refers to a conversation that took place long, long ago between the Kumaras, the four Kumaras, and Hamsa avatar. They had some questions, so Hamsa avatar spoke transcendental knowledge. And actually, that conversation that Krishna refers to in the Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, that's in 13th chapter, is the original beginning of the Chaturshani Sampradaya. You know, there's four authoritative Sampradayas, bona fide Sampradayas, and one of them is the Chaturshani Sampradaya, which, of course, of all the Sampradayas, the knowledge comes from the Supreme Lord, but there's always someone who receives that knowledge. Like in our Sampradaya, it's Brahma. So here we hear of the fact that Narada Muni also received transcendental knowledge from Hamsa avatar. And we can look through the purport. It's a very nice purport. There are certain aspects of the purport which I had difficulty understanding. Maybe we can you can help me understand. But first I will say a few things. What I noticed in the purport is that Prabhupada first says, I want to read this sentence, which is quite significant. Let me see. So Prabhupada says, little bit in the beginning, The whole process is that all living entities, being constitutionally parts and parcels of the Supreme Living Being, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, have proportionately minute independence of action also. So Prabhupada here explains about the independence of the jiva. So independence means that we have free choice. You know, the jiva is considered as the tatastha shakti, which means that it is in the border between the spiritual and material energy. So the living entity, as being a tatastha shakti, can be influenced either by Mahamaya or Yogamaya of the Supreme Lord. And depending on which Maya he is influenced by, he is either situated in material world, in material consciousness, or situated in the spiritual world, where the living entity renders devotional service to the Lord. So being tatastha shakti, we have that free choice. And free choice, you cannot have love without free choice. So here Prabhupada says that this is the this is the essence. The whole process is that we have the free choice. And then he says, the next sentence he says, So, the preliminary qualification for entering into devotional service of the Lord is that one becomes a willing cooperator. So, it's interesting that Prabhupada speaks about cooperation. So, first of all, he establishes that we are independent, so we have a free choice, and it's up to our desire, our choice, that we want to cooperate with the Supreme Lord. Unfortunately, coming to this material world, we have been so accustomed to not cooperating with the Supreme Lord. Actually, most of the living entities in this world are not cooperating with the Supreme Lord, and that's why this material world sometimes seems very chaotic. In the spiritual world, contrary to the material world, every living entity is in full cooperation with the Supreme Lord. And therefore, the spiritual world is in... everything is very harmonious. Here, everything is very chaotic. And there's a lot of contradictions in this world, in this material world. Maybe one of the biggest contradictions is that although we so desperately want to be happy and just enjoy life, there's the contradiction is that we cannot. Somehow we're always too short of being happy and satisfied. And this is because we are actually separated from the Supreme Lord. Now, interestingly enough, I noticed, probably you also noticed, that the rest of the sentences in that paragraph speak about the gradual progression of devotional service. And the first one, I'm referring to Shraddha. The devotional service begins with Shraddha. So Shraddha brings us to Sadhu Sangha. And then we engage in Bhajana Kriya, etc. So here carefully, and you will notice this progression here. It's not like directly said, but Prabhupada is listing these different stages. So the preliminary qualification for entering into devotional service of the Lord is that one becomes that one become a willing cooperator, and as such One should voluntarily cooperate with persons who are already engaged in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. So this is Sadhu Sangha. Cooperate with such devotees. By cooperating with such persons, the prospective candidate will gradually learn the techniques of devotional service. So, Bhajana Kriya, you learn from the spiritual master and from the other devotees the process of devotional service. And with the progress of such learning, one becomes proportionately free from the contamination of material association. That's anartani vritti. Then such a purificatory process will establish the prospective candidate in firm faith. So that's nishta, that's the stage of nishta, and gradually elevate him to the stage of transcendental taste for such devotional service. That's ruchi. Thus, he acquires a genuine attachment, a sakti, for the devotional service of the Lord. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopala Nanda. Jai. Thus, he acquires a genuine attachment to the devotional service of the Lord. And that's asakti, and his conviction carries him to the point of ecstasy, bhava. That's bhava. Then just prior to the stage of transcendental love, which is prema. So these are the stages of devotional service. And then Prabhupada speaks of two types of knowledge. And this is where I have hard time understanding. The way he words it put me into bewilderment. I was looking at Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse, and he speaks that he refers to two types of knowledge as well. So obviously Prabhupada is drawing his purport from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that there are two words. One is yogam, that's bhakti yoga or knowledge of devotional service, and the other one is bhagavatam. So bhagavatam is the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada starts the purport by saying, the devotional service, a devotee and devotional service are two correlative terms. So sometimes I've heard Madhavananda Prabhu likes to speak about bhakti, bhakta, and Bhagavan. So Prabhupada says that devotional service is possible when you have a devotee, and devotee engages in the service of Bhagavan. So he explains this nicely. But however, I'm really struggling with this, and please help me to understand. Such knowledge of devotional service, this is the second paragraph. Such knowledge of devotional service may be divided in two sections, namely preliminary knowledge of the nature of devotional service and the secondary knowledge of its execution. And my question to you, Prabhu, is this referring, what is this referring to? Maybe Keshav Maharaj has a light on this, because I struggle to understand. Sambandha Abhideya, referring to, so which is the first one?
S- So that's the sense, the preliminary knowledge about the nature of devotional service is like sambandha.
Mm-hmm.
That you're a soul, that Krishna is there, that you have a relationship with him of devotion. And the execution, the secondary knowledge of its execution is abhideya, how you actually conduct yourself as a devotee. That's the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah. Interesting. Thank you for your light, Prabhu. Maharaj, sorry. It's interesting, when I spoke with my wife about this verse, she thought that preliminary knowledge refers to Bhagavad Gita. And actually, Prabhupada, in the beginning of the purport, he mentions Bhagavad Gita. He says, Lord Sri Krishna wanted to explain the Bhagavad Gita, which is the science of devotional service, unto Sri Arjuna, because he was not only a friend, but also a devotee. So, and then the secondary knowledge is the knowledge of devotional service, which is actually the execution of devotional service, which is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And sometimes we say, don't we? We say that Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary knowledge, and then Bhagavad Gita ends with surrender. And also Prabhupada mentions in the verse itself, Shukdev Goswami mentions that persons who are so surrendered unto Vasudev, they can this knowledge is especially understandable to persons who are souls surrendered unto Lord Vasudeva. So Prabhupada finishes the purport by saying that quoting the Bhagavad Gita 7:19 Bahur, you know, after many, many births, one who understands fully Krishna, he's surrendered unto his lotus feet, and surrenders unto lotus feet of Krishna, understanding that he's everything, and such a person is very rare. So, after Bhagavad Gita, the preliminary knowledge, you come to the knowledge of which is explained in the Bhagavatam. And anyway, so this is my understanding. Maharaj, you think that this is Sambandha and then Abhideya. Any other understandings on this? Anyone? Yes, Prabhu?
I'm feeling a little bit like this is the path of Gyan and the path of Bhakti, and how the two feed each other. Gyan feeds the Bhakti and the Bhakti feeds the Gyan, and then eventually you reach the point where the Gyan is no longer necessary and the path of Bhakti continues on and on. That's the feeling that I'm getting from that.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu. And David?
What stood out to me was that the initial knowledge is like the...
Can you speak louder?
That the initial knowledge is like the scriptural knowledge, mm-hmm. and then the secondary knowledge is its application by the instructions of the spiritual master and the sadhus, mm-hmm. the practical application.
Okay. Yes, so there's different understandings. Any one of the ladies wants to give their understanding? Anyhow... It's a mystery. Also, another mystery in the purport. Sorry, I was meant to maybe elucidate on, give my understanding, but I'm honest with you. I didn't understand some bits. And when we were reading the purport, actually the verse itself, let me see if I can notice this again. Okay, so, O Narada, you were taught about the science of God and his transcendental loving service by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation of Hamsar Tower. So, he was very much pleased with you due to your intense proportion of devotional service. So, the Lord is pleased with the proportionals, with the intense proportion of devotional service of Narada, and therefore he explained this science. He also explained unto you lucidly the full science of devotional service. Now I think this is resolved, because we were thinking, if the Lord, if Narada Muni had intense proportion of devotional service, means he was really very intensely engaged in devotional service. His devotional service was very comprehensive and really intense. And then the Lord explained devotional service, the science of devotional service. So how can someone have this? Can someone have this intensity of devotional service without understanding the science of devotional service? So this was a question which came up. But here, when I read it now, it says, he also explained unto you. Then Brahma says to Narada, he also explained unto you lucidly the full science of devotional service. So it doesn't mean that one comes after the other or something like that. Anyway, it's a mystery. The time is finished, and I apologize if I couldn't satisfy you with my attempt to understand this purport, but I strongly feel that whoever speaks on the Bhagavatam should stick very closely to the purport, because we don't understand the science of devotional service. We learn from the spiritual master, and Srila Prabhupada has kindly given his purports, so understanding his purports will give us the proper understanding of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because sometimes there could be the tendency to sit on the Vyasasan and speak so many other things which are not related. We should be very chaste to Srila Prabhupada and his purports. As he does the same thing, actually, because I read the purport to this verse by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Prabhupada was just explaining in his own words what he understood from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And like that. And Bhagavatam is actually knowledge which can only be understood in association of devotees. And association of devotees doesn't mean that one sits on the Vyasasana and speaks and the others listen, but it should be a discussion. And also the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken by sages in Naimisharanya, they were discussing, they were asking questions, and Sutta Goswami is answering like that. So this is the process of understanding this knowledge. And I will end with leaving few minutes if someone wants to maybe give their understanding to this verse, something that we may have missed, or someone has a question, and we can try to answer. Any comments? Yes, Maharaj. Where's the mic?
Thank you, Bhagadatta Prabhu. Just one comment and one question. Just a comment on your final point about, you know, the intense proportion of devotional service. Yeah. And then he found out about the science of devotional service. It just reminded me of the seed verses of the Bhagavad Gita, where like Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. That when one is satata yukta, when one is constantly engaged in devotional service, then dadami buddhi, I give them transcendental intelligence by which they can come to me. So it seems that it's there's a quality of science of devotional service that we understand after rendering devotional service.
Okay, something which is not found in the books necessarily, which is more, it's given
revealed,
to you
from
within the heart.
Yeah, like later on even Krishna says in those verses, like, Desham evanukam partham aham agyana jamtamaha. Like, I destroy the ignorance with the... I'm dwelling in their hearts and I destroy the ignorance with the shining lamp of knowledge.
Okay, wonderful points. So first we have to make an effort to properly follow the principles of devotional service, engage ourselves, follow very strictly and according to the instructions of the spiritual master. And then the Lord, being pleased with our service, our endeavor, our intensity of devotional service, the Lord then reveals within our heart the intricacies of devotional service.
Yeah.
Is that...
Yeah,
that's your thing.
And just my other question was, here it's being said that Narada was taught by Hamsavatar. Do you have any details of that interaction?
Narada was taught by Hamsavatar.
Do you know where,
like,
that's historical?
I don't know historically. I don't know when did that happen, but I was wondering. And in the purport to this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur starts by saying, because the verse begins with Tubhyam Cha means unto you also. So, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Hamsa Avatar explained Jnana, the knowledge, to the four Kumaras. And he also explained the knowledge of bhakti, because to the Kumaras, they had a very, analytical question. I think the question was about the nature of this world, that, isn't it, that the senses are naturally drawn to the sense objects and we are supposed to be detached. And they explained that contradiction. And to Narada, he apparently spoke about the knowledge of bhakti, of devotional service. But I don't have knowledge or understanding. I don't know where historically that happened and how it happened. Yes, Prabhu.
I have a small contribution, because I got very interested in reading Narada Bhakti Sutras a little while ago. And there's a story about a Bhakti Devi and her two sons, Gyan and Vairagya, and how Narada met Bhakti Devi and then was so influenced by this interaction with Bhakti Devi, and it's because her sons had become very old and in Kali Yuga, and then he was then influenced to propound the knowledge of Bhakti. But I don't think that is related to Hamsa Avatar, but I believe maybe Maharaj can give some more.
Okay. Yeah, that story is nice. Yeah, I remember that story. How does that relate? How would you relate that to the question, that the last question Maharaj had about when was that knowledge spoken? Or you were just having a guess?
I'm just having a little guess that Bhakti Devi is because I think after that, Narada then promised Bhakti Devi, okay, I will absolutely establish Bhakti in the hearts of everybody.
But how is that related to Hamsavatara speaking the knowledge to Narada?
I don't know.
Okay. Good try, thank you. All right. Okay, thank you very much. There was one more thing. Srinivas Prabhu? No? Okay. All right. Thank you very much, everyone. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Chimad Bhagavatam ki jai.